It's not just my, his or her house. This is our house.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tyrone Lowe. This is my show, The Legends. And I want to thank everybody that shows me love, subscribe, and give me all that love. And I'm just giving it back to you right now. On this, on my show, The Legends, I would call these guys a dynamic duo. You know, one of them I knew for years, and I just actually stumbled across him with his friend. And they both wrote a book and a play. So I give to you Harvey Gilmore and Jeffrey Smith. What's going on, guys?
Thank you for having us.
Great. So we're going to start off with you, Harvey. Tell the viewers a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a recovered high school dropout turned college professor. I'm starting my 25th year in teaching, and I teach law courses in tax and commercial law. It's easily the best job I ever had, and it's light years better than working, and it keeps me out of trouble and off the street.
Okay. And Jeffrey, now I've known Jeffrey for a matter of years. Jeffrey's also an Access producer. We actually graduated from the same class as far as being Access producers. He's helped me with my shows, and he's been very supportive, and we stood in contact through the years. Yeah. So, Jeffrey, tell the viewers a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, as my friend of many decades, Professor Gilmore, Harvey Gilmore, said, thank you for having us, and so great to see you, Tyrone. I'm born and raised in the Bronx, graduated Evander High School, went on to college at Baruch and did graduate work after that down at the New School for Social Research in the Village. Married for almost 28 years. And two kids, adults, Victoria, our daughter, Silas, our son. And I first met Professor Gilmore almost 25 years ago when we both started teaching together. I teach classes in, I'm a social science professor. So I teach abnormal psychology, communications courses as needed. So it's kind of what I do.
Okay, great. And before we go into the show, I want to thank Jeffrey every day. And I mean every day for the last few years. He sends me inspirational things as far as prayer. And I want to thank you every day for acknowledging me and lifting me up every day. Sure. You know, and that means a lot to me, you know. And, of course, when Joe sees this, you know he's going to be very surprised, right?
Shout out to Joseph, please. That's my guy. Shout out.
All right, so, Mr. Gilmore, let's talk about the book. Mm-hmm. And tell the viewers about the book. If you have one handy, can you show it on the screen? And tell the viewers about it and actually the functionality of it.
It's called The College Freshman Guide to First Year Greatness.
Okay.
Well, Jeff and I over the years have had conversations about what is it that makes students successful. And when we finally got the idea to put the book together, it's really a compilation of all of the conversations that we've had through the years, which do make a lot of practical sense. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about, you know, students getting over the fear and the culture shock of starting college, picking a major that's right for them, following their passion, mm-hmm. and making the point that whatever path they choose, it's their path and not anybody else's path. And the worst thing that any student can do is undertake an academic undertaking for somebody else, because somebody else wants him to take it. In fact, we made a point in the book that if you want to be a musician, for example, but your parents happen to be attorneys or doctors or CPAs, that doesn't matter. This is your race. Run your race. They've run their race. Now it's time for you to run yours.
Oh. You know, I read partial of the book, and what I got out of it was that, you know, actually having students actually paint their picture, you know, before time, and actually encourage them to look before their time to see exactly where they're going to be at least 5 years from now, or, you know, to encourage them to look ahead and say that, you know, whatever we go through, I'm going to get over it. It's going to pass. And through the years, it's going to sum it up to something quite positive, you know. So, Jeffrey, collaborate on that as well.
Yeah. Again, we wrote the book, and we're probably two of the least likely people. If you had asked probably both of us 25 years ago, 30 years ago, if we'd be college professors, we would have sat back and said no. If you had asked me if I graduated from college, would I go into academia? The answer is no. I did a corporate career for a number of years. You know, it comes down to so many things. And I think life prepares you for the next level. So what you're going through today can prepare you for something next month, right? So I looked at the stuff that I was doing. Let me put this book together, Tyrone. And so funny, because we didn't take that long to write it, if I remember, Harvey. We were kind of back and forth through, you know, through the computer, as it were. And we did this book in a number of months, also available at Amazon.com. Let's just put that out there. But back to the original point, it was not something that was on my personal radar screen. I had a corporate career, but I didn't find it as fulfilling. And so I started to ask myself, what are some of the things that I like to do? And through a series of things happening in life, and life does happen, and there's really no coincidences. I don't want to contradict myself. But we literally got together and said, okay, so we made it to what we chose to do. And part of the problem, as Harvey said, as Professor Gilmore said, is a lot of times parents mean real well. And a lot of times, if they didn't get a chance to do something because of institutional racism, sexism, lack of money, fear, they might try to sort of live through you kind of vicariously. So we literally sat back and said, here are two guys that were not necessarily at the top of their classes that wound up becoming professors. And these are the steps that we took. And we just shared that in the book.
You know, it's quite intriguing to hear that your life wasn't actually pre-planned, as I might say, and to the point where I believe that somewhere along the line, I believe God has something to do with it, because what you're going to be is what you're going to be. Even whatever lifestyle that you're living, if it's going to sum up to that point, I believe that's what it's going to be. So my question to you, Jeffrey, even though it was dealing with life experience and things of that, how has your self-satisfaction been accommodated?
If you're talking about as far as a career and stuff, this has probably been this type of quote unquote work. And I put in quotes, it's not work. It's the famous quote by Confucius that said, if you find something you love to do, you'll never work a day in your life. So I can't say that I've ever gone to work in the past 25 years. I will step back and say, and it's something Professor Gilmore and I share on a regular basis as our collective faith. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, all things work together for the good of them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. So I believe this was my purpose, and I just walked those steps by faith, if that makes any sense. So I would say, versus being in corporate and selling a product that shareholders make money and you get a bonus on, there's more to life than that. And so I'd say from a life satisfaction, great question, life satisfaction perspective, this has been probably the most rewarding type of quote unquote work that I've ever done. I'm not going to work. I'm going to interact with students, and I have great colleagues like Harvey.
So, Mr. Gilmore, let me ask you a question. Have you talked to students about the feedback on the book itself, and what did they have to say about it?
But every student I've spoken to told me it's like I was speaking to them directly. It was spot on. And I think this is the sort of thing that that viscerally all of us can relate to at one time or another. And it's really just a question of getting out of the day-to-day tedium and just finding something you're passionate about and taking it from there. Because when you enjoy what you do, it really isn't work. I mean, the last 25 years, I get in my car and I make the commute. And my job description is, I walk into a classroom, tell stories for a few hours, and I go home. And the money ain't bad either.
And that's cool.
And then, to throw in my own Bible reference, Ecclesiastes 5:19 says that when you accept your lot in life and enjoy your work. That is a true gift from God.
Yes.
You know, what I like about both of you guys is you weren't selfish about anything that you was actually doing. And it was saying that you just can't keep certain things unless you give it away in a sense. Yes. You know, and that's very important that you guys don't have a selfish spirit, that y'all looked upon other people and say, well, listen, I got what I want, so I'm willing to share it with somebody else. And hopefully that they actually walk that path as far as being encouraged and reach their plateau. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, Jeffrey, you know, it's cool to know that you guys put something together that's really spectacular. And what was the reaction on both of y'all faces when you actually got this book published?
Again, Tyrone, you ask these great questions. I think people that know me are surprised as I was.
Right.
I remember joking with my father. I said, hey, Pop, I wrote a book and it came out yesterday. And he said, you wrote a what? And I said, I wrote a book, Pop. And he said, okay. I said, I wrote it with Harvey Gilmore, Professor Gilmore. Right. My father knows Gilmore for years. And he said, okay, what was your contribution? Like the color of the cover or something? You really wrote a book, like in a joking sense.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction, though, once I saw it and I was able to log into literally Amazon,
right,
see my book with our names on it, the reaction was just like almost floored. You know, again, it wasn't like I sat back and said in 1968 or whatever, I'm going to be a writer. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to motivate and encourage students. It was the furthest thing from my plans and whatnot. So to answer the question, when I saw a name in the book and it had a description of it, I just sat back and said, you know what? Literally anything is possible if you put your mind to it and put the effort into it. And that can be starting a business, writing a book, or doing, you know, recording an album.
Right. And that's so cool. But listen, we're going to take a little break and come back with these guys, and we're going to discuss more of current events that's going on with them and with the book and the play. We'll be right back.
It's not just mine, it's all her house. This is our house.
We got some fun people in the house tonight.
Each other's backs
and banding together,
we should still make an effort
to get to know each other
on a deeper level.
Father,
cosplayer,
mentor,
actor.
It's time we take a step forward,
come together
and discover
how accepting our differences
can make us stronger.
Really down,
really down,
playing the games you do.
Someday, everything will be alright.
Different, different people make the world go round.
By my side, the world will be mine. You're the one for me.
Yeah. And we're back. This is my show, The Legends. My name is Tyrone Lowe, your host, and my guests is Harvey Gilmore and Jeffrey Smith. Hey, guys. Now, before we actually move on to more intense conversation about the book, Mr. Gilmore, tell everybody how can they get in contact with you and things of that nature.
Okay, my email address is hgtaxlaw@hotmail.com. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, linkedin.com.
Okay. Jeffrey.
Yes, sir. You can find me on my email, which is gsmoove147@gmail.com. That is the best way to reach me, and I will respond.
And also, could you include the platforms of the books where they can actually get one if they really want to get one?
Yes, that's amazon.com.
Yes.
Okay. So let me ask you guys, before you actually got into the book, were you looking at it at a worldly fashion as far as trying to communicate with it all over the world, as far as dealing with multi-colleges? Or is that actually an agenda that you guys have right now?
It's an agenda we have right now, and something we kind of sort of fell into as we were moving along with the process, and we eventually came to the realization that again, this is a story that a lot of people can relate to. And speaking for myself, I certainly did not take the Ivy League straight A honor student route to get where I am. Mm-hmm. If the 17-year-old me met the 58-year-old me now,
right?
The 17-year-old me would have said something like, "Who the hell are you?"
It just didn't match up, right?
No, I mean, if Jesus himself had told me at my lowest point in high school that 40 years down the road, I'd be a college professor, a published author, law school graduate, and all that good stuff, I would have called Bellevue. Get us two rooms.
Well, you know what? It'd probably be three rooms because I think Jeffy still would be sending me prayer every day, and I'll have to pray for him at that point.
I love prayer. I love prayer. It works. Prayer works. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jeffrey, as far as this is concerned, what do you have to offer as far as the book is concerned and the message behind it? Because it's one thing that I didn't hear about, and it was dealing with a financial status of it. And it seems to me like you guys did it from your heart to the point where you wasn't thinking about finances or being accommodated financially.
Yeah, I would say what we offer to your question, what we offer is a sense of hope. To say to people, look, you know, that's what we need today. I mean, we're still in the midst of a pandemic, right? We're still in 2022. Mm-hmm. This thing is not over like we thought, you know, after 6 weeks or something. So people need hope and people need goals. And one thing that we know, one of the many things we know about the mind in psychology is this. Mm-hmm. If you don't have something to look forward to, the mind and the brain go back to something, which means that if you had a rough past, whether it was abuse, you know, drugs, alcohol, slash, whatever thing's going on in your life, if you don't have something to motivate you to look forward to, you can find yourself slipping back into old patterns and stuff. So we offer a sense of hope. To say, look, we did it. And, you know, Evander was a very good school when I went. It wasn't, you know, necessarily the tops on the East Coast.
Right. Okay.
I went to, you know, City College and had to go to night school and, you know, certain times at night school to fund myself. That essentially with hope that this can be done.
Right.
Well, I'll add to that with certain students. It gives them an additional sense of hope when they discover that their very own professors, like us, happen to have backstories similar to theirs.
Right. Another question I'd like to ask is, you mentioned college students and things of that nature. Do you think that it can actually work for elementary and junior high school and high schools as well, in a sense? Yeah. Or would it be a little bit too much for them to absolutely adopt to?
Well, I look at it from the perspective of learning and fun are not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
When a student has fun in a class, they tend to retain the subject matter better and longer, and they will do better in the class, which for me, I will believe this until I take my last breath. Mm-hmm. I think it's a far better pedagogical approach than just ramming a bunch of useless information down students' throat and say, learn this or else.
Right. So at this point, it wouldn't be something that's actually forceful to them, because I believe that once a child is forced to learn something, they actually lose the concept of it as far as interest.
And that's right. It repels them that much faster. And then when you get to the point, and I speak from my own experience on this, you know, when it gets to the point where you dread going to class and you don't see how it's going to help you in real life down the road, what's the point? It's only going to be a matter of time before you exit stage left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I can say, Tyrone, if I may jump in.
Yeah, sure.
Professor Gil Harvey makes great points as usual. But I would also say that this could be a book that someone in an elementary school, middle school, or high school can look at. If you look at it this way, somebody who's an all-star in basketball, somebody who's got a black belt in martial arts, didn't start off as a black belt. They were shown something and introduced to it at one point, and they developed skills all along. So I would say that what we did in the book, at least we attempted to do, and the feedback is that we did.
Okay.
And I'm sitting in the classroom as a result of a lot of people who invested in me as well. And just a quick shout out, rest her soul. There was a woman in my neighborhood, Dr. Dorothy Dunbar, who was a professor at Queens College, who in 1968 took me to Queens College with her. And she was a professor, as I said. And I spent the day with her watching what she did. So even though I was a kid, so to speak, at the end of the day, I don't think you're ever too young to be indoctrinated or shown the path to getting to certain places. And the book itself says, hey, folks, these are some of the steps. You can carve out your own way. These are the ways that we did it, and we offer general advice that people can specifically implement. So I would look at it from that standpoint, that it's not too soon to share this with advanced elementary, middle school, high school students before you don't just show up and go to college. Right? You gotta have some bit of a plan. I mean, I basically just showed up and went, and I wouldn't advise that of anybody. There's gotta be some steps in between, and hopefully this is one.
So Mr. Gilmore, you wanna piggyback on that?
Absolutely. Again, you know, learning is not something that should be a chore. It's a journey that should be enjoyed. And it's one thing to learn things for the sake of learning and getting knowledge and information. But again, it's just, for me, unconscionable for any class. Whether it's law or math or English or whatever, to be dragged down your throat with a mentality of learn this or else. And if you don't learn this or else, you're going to be branded a failure for the rest of your life and never amount to much. Okay, and that for me is the single biggest thing that would turn off any student from the benefits of learning.
Okay. Do you feel at this time and age that the concept that learning is fundamental, do you think it corresponds with this time and age of what's going on with people in life, general, kids, adults, things of that nature?
Yeah, because people still have to process information so that they know how to react to it and know what to do with it and proceed accordingly. Learning is universal, I think, irrespective of the situation. Okay, what good is having knowledge and information if you don't apply it?
That's true. So we got 4 minutes. So let's talk about the play and tell everybody the name of it and the consistency of it.
Yes, the name of the play is Reflections from Failure to Recovery. And Jeff and I were wrapping up on the book. And then the next thing he says to me is, let's write a play.
Yeah.
And my two immediate reactions were, we just finished writing a book. I got to exhale, number one. And number two, what the hell am I going to write about in a play?
Right.
And then he says, well, why don't you start with your time in high school? And jackpot. And I'll say it this way. My time in high school was a train wreck. The best thing about high school for me was getting the hell out of there.
Right. So
I got the idea that if, you know, so many years later, after having graduated from college and law school, what kind of conversation could I have if I happened to randomly run into one of the teachers in high school who was firm in their conviction that I would never amount to much?
Right.
And that turned into the first act of the play. And then Jeffrey responded with him having a reunion with a high school teacher that he got along with, who helped him and inspire him. Mm-hmm. And then the next act was, our telling our stories of, how we navigated through college to get where we are. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's basically, you might say, a 20 or 30 year trip down memory alley or memory lane.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm gonna say one thing. It's been a pleasure to have you guys on my show.
Likewise, and sir. Thank you
for being so informative to the viewers. You guys come back again.
Thank you.
Before I close it up, Jeffrey had told me about this play when he was actually helping me do a shot. Shot on my show. Mm-hmm. And I told him that, if he needs somebody to do the tracks behind this play, I'll do it for him. I'll be glad to help somewhere along the way. So this has been another T-Lo video production with my guests, Harvey Gilmore and Jeffrey Smith. They are both authors, playwriters, and actually go out there and support them. Grab the book, give it to your kids, read it yourself.
Yeah.
Share the love of it. Sharing all that information. And like I said, this has been another T-Lo video production. And y'all guys, stay tuned for another episode. Thank you guys so much.
Pleasure.
Peace. Be blessed. Thank you.
It's not just mine. It's all her house. This is our house.
We got some fun people in the house tonight.
There is the therapeutic aspect of music, just expressing how you feel. I'm going to talk to Howie about his feelings, make it into a song.
For the love of house,
the dynamic soul sound of for the love DJ of Tyrone Lowe.
His or her house. This is our house.